Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it had given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies that you also may believe. These things happen so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced.
I wonder what's the worst news you have heard. Have a think. I'm going to pause for 20 seconds for you to discuss this.
T-minus 20 seconds. 15 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
I once had one of my children come rushing in. She said, "I've got some terrible news." I wondered what she was talking about, what kind had gone so terribly wrong. Here's what she said: "Cream eggs now come in packs of five, not packs of six." Well, I have to agree, that was terrible news. Almost as bad as when Cadbury's decided to change their chocolate recipe. What a disaster. But that's not terrible news, is it? Some news is just awful. Do you remember where you were on the 11th of September 2001? I'm sure the date rings a bell. The Twin Towers, two aircraft flowing into the New York Towers. Terrible loss of life. It's said that everyone can remember where they were when that news came through. I was in work. Someone ran down the corridor. "It's terrible. You need to see this." On a scale of 1 to 10, the cream egg crisis was 0.01, but this was 10. That first Good Friday, there was terrible news. Maybe we're too familiar with the story. We don't realise what bad news it was. But you get a good idea if we listen in on some of Jesus' disciples. In Luke 24 and verse 21, two disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus. We overhear them say this: "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." They had met Jesus. They had followed Jesus for nearly 3 years. They had heard of all the promises of the Messiah who was going to come. Over 1,000 years of Israel's history, there would be one who would come in the line of David. For thousands of years, one who would be sent by God to rescue his people. Since Abraham's time even, one who would be a blessing to the whole world. Since the dawn of time, one who would crush evil and bring us back to God. And they'd seen Jesus and all he had done. Who else had spoken and the sick were healed? Who else touched the scarred leper and he was made whole? Who else commanded the waves and the winds and they instantly obeyed? Who else reached out and the dead was raised to life? And they'd heard that all Jesus had said. He said, "I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door. I'm the light of the world. I'm the way, the truth and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life." Never in all history has anybody been remotely like Jesus. Surely Jesus was the one who God has promised. Surely Jesus was the Saviour who had come to deal with sin and bring us to God. So for them, this on a scale of 1 to 10 was 11. The eternal promises of God had been destroyed before their very eyes. And that, all that had happened on that first Good Friday sealed it. And we see it in their passages. There are three things which are disastrous. The first one is in verse 28. Jesus says, "I'm thirsty." Now, we all get thirsty, don't we? Especially in lockdown, I find myself going and making coffee all the time. Why is this so disastrous? Well, do you remember when Jesus met that Samaritan woman at the well? What did Jesus say he could provide for her? Well, living water. He said, whoever drinks the water that I will give them will never thirst again. So if Jesus is thirsty, how could they trust his promises? Secondly, in verse 30, Jesus says, it's finished. Usually it's great when you say, it's finished, it's done. You've done your homework maybe and it's finished, yes! But Jesus finished. He'd only been going for 3 years. He'd only just entered in triumph into Jerusalem. Surely it was just the start of all he was going to do. How can Jesus be finished? He's hardly even started. And then the third thing, verse 34, the spear pushed into Jesus' side and blood and water flowing. Now this means that the blood and the serum, the plasma, had separated. But that doesn't happen if you're alive, only if the blood isn't being pumped around by your heart. There really was no hope now. Jesus was really dead. These three incidents meant that all hope had gone. That's why it was such a dark day for the disciples. But hang on a minute. We need to rewind. Was it all that terrible, really? Was it really an 11 on the terrible news scale? Let's look at those three incidents again, because, you know, really each one is incredibly good news, not terribly bad news. Verse 28, Jesus says, I am thirsty. That woman at the well, she was told she would never thirst again. But in what way was she thirsty? Well, we know that she lived her life looking for love and fulfillment. She'd gone looking around for different men. Jesus said to her, you'd already had 5 husbands, and she was onto the 6th man. And yet she hadn't found what she was looking for. And now she was ashamed of her past, and others were ashamed of her. But Jesus came to deal with all our shame and wrong. How did Jesus do that? Well, the hint isn't what happened at the cross. They used a stick of hyssop to give Jesus a drink. And that's like a web link. You click on it and it takes us somewhere else in the Bible. It goes back to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 22. The Israelites who were in Egypt, it was Passover. God was about to come and judge the Egyptians, and all the firstborn would die. And he told people to take a lamb and to kill a lamb and to put its blood on the doorposts. And what did they use to do it? Well, a hyssop plant to paint the blood. And Jesus is that Lamb of God who has come to die. His blood was shed for us. And that hyssop plant, well, we see in Leviticus 14 that when a leper is cured, when a leper is cleansed, he had to go to the temple and he had to take with him a sacrifice. And that sacrifice would be made to proclaim his cleansing was complete and that he was made whole again. You see, this is a web link pointing us back to all that Jesus is going to do. So can you see? Jesus came. He took on our shame on himself. He became spiritually thirsty for us. He did it to pay the price for our sin, to take away our shame. He did it to make us clean and to give us a new life. Now the second one, verse 30, Jesus said, it's finished. Well, what was finished? As we said, surely he had hardly even started his ministry. But Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 38, I came to do the will of him who sent me. And so what was his Father's will? Was simply this, that Jesus should come to be our Saviour, that he should live the perfect life that I can't live, so that he could be the perfect sacrifice, take the punishment in my place. What was finished when Jesus died? Well, all that he came to do. Like finishing that homework, he shouted with satisfaction, it's done! Jesus' death wasn't, you see, a disaster. It was a triumph. And thirdly, in verse 34, that blood and water. In the very actions those guards took, it was going to be Passover the next day, so they would break the victim's legs to stop them from breathing and therefore they would die more rapidly. But Jesus was already dead, so what did they do? Well, they put a spear in his side. They were just choosing the easiest way they could to get rid of their victims. But in doing that, God was fulfilling 2 prophecies made hundreds of years before. What does this tell us? It tells us that God was in control, that none of what happened was an accident. Even the guards hurrying to finish off the job of execution, even in that they did all that God had planned. But there's even more here. Jesus was genuinely dead. We said that. This was clear. He had really died. He had really died for all my sin. But it wasn't the end. It was only Friday, but Sunday was coming. You see, Jesus died, but God was in control. Jesus had promised that he would rise again 3 days later. And on that Sunday morning, the grave stood empty and Jesus was alive. I wonder if you've ever seen one of those pictures. There's a picture here and there's a picture of Napoleon in the picture, but you maybe can't see it. On that first Good Friday, at a first look, everything looked like a disaster. Jesus, the living water, is here, but he thirsts. Jesus, the promised Messiah, is here, but it seems to be all over. Jesus, the way, the truth and the life, is here, but here he's dead. But look again. There's a better picture, you see. Jesus, the Lamb of God, dying for you to take away your spiritual thirst. Jesus, the promised Messiah, finishing his work for you. Jesus, who is the way, the truth and the life, demonstrating his victory by truly dying for you so he would show it as he rose again. You see, Good Friday truly is good. Hope is not lost. Jesus has triumphed. Sin has been defeated and God's purposes have been fulfilled in Jesus.